Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with our international team, Dr. Mike Yeadon and Andrea Klarich, bringing you some of the headlines from around the world on what's happening with regard to warnings and apologies about the COVID shots and their dangers, as well as an update on the WHO recent meetings the last week of May, and what's happening both behind the scenes as well as publicly stated with regard to the WHO pandemic treaty, and what's the real danger in all of that. But first, an apology from a major world leader, the Japanese former Minister for Internal Affairs, as the first major political leader worldwide to apologize to the unvaccinated for the death and destruction that has occurred as a result of the toxic by design, Dr. Yeadon's words, and I agree, toxic by design COVID-19 shots deceptively labeled vaccines, who have killed millions of loved ones around the world. And the Japanese leader apologized, saying to the unvaccinated, "You were right. Vaccines are killing millions of our loved ones." And this occurred in the protest with huge numbers of Japanese citizens who took to the streets to protest against the crimes against humanity that have been perpetrated by the very globalist organizations we have been warning you about: World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, United Nations, all in their sinister agendas to bring control of every aspect of our life and to unleash the bioweapon COVID shots during the pandemic and prevent access to early treatment of a very treatable illness if you caught it early and used existing safer medicines like hydroxychloroquine, older antibiotics, azithromycin, doxycycline, corticosteroids. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin could have saved millions of lives worldwide had they not been suppressed. And it was the former Minister for Internal Affairs in Japan who delivered a very powerful and emotional apology for the huge numbers of deaths occurring as a result of these deadly mRNA injections. And he addressed, as we have been also discussing in our vaccine injury program with Truth for Health Foundation, he addressed the horrific grief and loss that has been happening to families around the world, particularly when people who've been healthy die suddenly in their sleep or drop dead on the athletic field, or teenagers who were healthy drop dead playing sports in high school from the COVID shots. And it really is appalling that more political leaders are ignoring the death and destruction. And one of Haraguchi's points in his speech which Dr. Yeadon and I from the medical front have been bringing out for the last 4 years, is the suppression, the ban on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Now, in Japan, it's particularly relevant because this was a drug developed by Dr. Satoshi Omura, and we know it could have played a major role in combating the illness quickly and reducing people's illness severity and death from the illness, as well as obviating the need for any experimental COVID shot. And clearly the interests were economic and the dollar's profit was prioritized over people. But it was bigger than that. It was clearly a depopulation agenda because they knew at least 12 to 15 years ahead of the release of the shots that they damaged the ovaries and testicles, the lipid nanoparticles and the spike protein damaged the ovaries and testicles in every animal species studied, as Dr. Yeadon brought out in work that he was doing in 2020 and 2021. And I heard some of his presentations and was bringing that to the audience in the United States. But what also was interesting and tragic about Minister Haraguchi's speech is that he shared his own personal story about what happened to him and how severely ill he became after getting the COVID shot. And he commented about the fact that two of the three COVID shots he received were from batches that were bad batches. And Dr. Yeadon and others created the website Bad Batch. And we can put that link in our show notes. So Haraguchi talked about his struggle with cancer, and he talked about how ill he became. And he also talked about the fact that he was not the only member of the Japanese legislature to suffer the adverse events from the vaccine, and how many colleagues were literally, their health was falling apart. And tragically, they're not speaking up. So it reveals a bigger issue that we've been trying to bring to you, all of you listeners, and asking you to be the ones to speak up when you hear our programs, because public officials are not discussing what's happening. They're not being truthful either about the complications they've had personally or about the complications that they hear about from their constituents. And Haraguchi also brought up an issue that we've been facing, and that is the efforts to silence all of us who are bringing truthful, data-driven information to expose the nefarious policies and government actions that are censoring the truth tellers, that are censoring the death and destruction from these COVID shots. And this attempt to censor dissenting voices, it's affecting us at Truth for Health Foundation. It's affecting me medically. Dr. Yeadon is heavily censored, and Andrea can talk about what's happening in Eastern Europe. But this attempt to censor all dissenting voices comes from the global elites, big tech, big pharma, big government, big medicine, all of the power structures and wealthy elites who decide what we can hear and what we are prevented from hearing. It is a critical assault on our freedom of speech and expression, and they are trying to block all of our freedoms. We must resist. And in addition to this very powerful speech from Minister Haraguchi in Japan, and we'll put a link so that those of you who would like to hear his speech can listen to it. But Dr. Yeadon was telling me about a very explosive and powerful hearing in the Philippines just this week. And so I'd like him to share with us about that. And then Andrea Klarich is going to bring us his perspective and knowledge about what's been happening both behind the scenes and in the public reports about the WHO pandemic treaty and the international health regulatory agreements. So, Dr. Eden, welcome. And thank you for all of your tireless efforts to bring truth to the public.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Always good to be with you again and speaking to our audience, hopefully all around the world. So yes, this week I saw an article on there having been a Philippines, an inquiry in the Philippines Parliament. So their House of Representatives agreed to investigate the 290,000 excess deaths which occurred in 2021 and 2022. And that's a big number for the country. And there were half a dozen experts who were saying the kind of things that I and others have said, only related to their own country. For example, it said that one of the attorneys said, there are Filipino people who are sick and tired of how the Department of Health has let us down, has refused to admit that people are dying, turning a blind eye to the people who are getting sick, turbo cancers, myocarditis, children who are suddenly sick as if they are 60 years old. And her words resonated in the chamber. I noticed that of the politicians sitting around the table, I've described it to people that some of them, I would say, had steely eyes and completely featureless faces. And others sitting to their side looked horrified. And I think what that tells us is that probably in every administration, there are some people who, if not actively complicit, do know what's going on. And many others who, you know, they're not necessarily hired or elected for being the brightest people. And they genuinely, I think some of them genuinely don't know the specifics. So they know something's up, but many don't know. And that'll probably be true in America. It's certainly true in Britain. But I have said to people that the I didn't know train left the station probably at least 3 years ago. So I've no sympathy either for the elected politicians in the Philippines who are getting roasted by lawyers and experts or in my country, but we can make that link available. There's a full link to a multi-hour inquiry, but there's a 6-minute piece that I strongly recommend you listen to that features in the article that I've sent to Dr. Lee, where I mean, basically, if you understand roughly what's going on, that these injections were known to be toxic, I believe designed to be toxic. There are people who have realized that in every country, and they're subject to censorship. And so when you hear someone describing it, you know, in summary, I think you'll find that it will resonate with you. And the reason I mention that is, and I say this every week, that as Dr. Lee says, all of us who are speaking out are subject to censorship and smearing. And it doesn't matter how hard we try, we are restricted by modern digital techniques to limit our reach. And I always say that your loved ones who are not listening to this recording will never hear from us because they're not looking for us. And the governments and media will never tell them the truth. So you who are hearing, I hate to lay this on you, but the fate of humanity belongs to you and people like you, choosing to do something with what you learn from these broadcasts or links that we attach. So, yeah, and it's really important that there are around the world increasingly countries that are managing to hold their politicians to some kind of account. And I think the most important thing about this is the universality of what's going on. And they're so shareable. It's not a conspiracy theory. That hearing occurred, and the politicians didn't argue. They were receiving information from experts. They were basing their opinions both on, you know, doctors' personal opinions, but especially government data on deaths and so on. So use that information in the best way you possibly can. I always see my job as waking people up. Because I think the more people wake up, the harder it will be for the group I call the perpetrators, because I don't really know who they are or care. But they're a bunch of globalists who are eugenicists that think they have a right to wrestle control of the world from the hands of people who believe in democracy and freedom into, quiet rooms in the background where they intend to completely remodel human society. And they'll only be stopped if enough of us say no and refuse to cooperate. And there are even just one last sentence. There are documents which we can refer to. One was Modeling the Future, and it was a document called Lockstep. And one of the observations made by the planners in this document, it was for a rich foundation. And it said, we will continue in this direction, which is to remove your freedoms and possibly your lives, unless and until enough people object. So that's why I believe the most important and probably the only serious counter we have is to wake people up. And please, your role in this, God willing, and with God's help, is to wake up as many people as you can too. So that's where I am.
Well, I appreciate that. And I want to take 6 minutes right now and play the clip that you have shared with us, because I think that summary of the Philippines hearing is critical for our audience to have as part of this program. So we will do that right now.
And there are Filipino people who are sick and tired of how the DOH has let us down, has refused to admit that people are dying, turning a blind eye to the people who are getting sick, turbo cancers, myocarditis, children who are suddenly sick as if they are 60, 70-year-old people. Your Honors, we have seen the cavalier attitude of the DOH here over the past 5 hearings. They don't care. We look into their eyes, there does not seem to be any sympathy for the people who have died, for the people who are now physically disabled because of these vaccines.
This is our birth data, and it starts at the top from 2019, and it shows that we have had a loss of babies every single year since the pandemic has started. So 2019 was our last normal birth year. And the last line at the bottom is 2023, and we can see that our births are even lower this year. This is the death data. The very big spike are the deaths in 2021, which started in March of 2021, immediately consecutive with the start of the vaccine rollout. And the very big spike in deaths that we see in July and August is actually consecutive with the rollout of the Janssen vaccines. There was a big spike in deaths exactly concurrent with that. So 2022, we had lower deaths, but the deaths were still higher than 2020 by around 8 to 9%. 2023, our data is still incomplete, but the deaths in 2023 are already nearly 10% higher than 2022. So a 10% excess deaths would be considered a black swan event. You would not expect that. But we have had consecutive years of excess deaths since 2021. So there is no acknowledgement of any deaths officially related to COVID-19 vaccination. However, in 2020, the death rates amongst all age groups, nearly all age groups, went down. In 2021, when vaccination rolled out, the deaths went up in all age groups that were vaccinated. There was a raise, increase in deaths. Department of Health has officially told us that people died because they could not access medical care. And we would counter that people who do not need medical care to stay alive cannot die when they don't receive medical care. So most young people don't need medical care to stay alive, yet they still died in excess in 2021 and onwards. So we would counter, there doesn't seem to be any other rational explanation, and the deaths were temporarily linked following the start of vaccine rollout. We didn't have a famine. We didn't have any other diseases. We didn't have a major typhoon. What's the explanation?
Actually, we have established already that in the previous hearings that yung excess deaths due to vaccination, there are those that because of the vaccines. As a matter of fact, ay merong adverse effect after immunization na 113,000. And yung serious is 2,000 plus, di ba? Na fatal.
Mr. Chef.
And that's the reason why I believe, the chief believes that there is really a correlation between this.
Ang mga nakakabahala lang po are those pharmaceutical companies provided us the vaccines. Before the vaccination rollout, meron talaga doon sa agreement na ka-indicate that they cannot be sued. So I mean, that's something that we should worry about.
Yeah, I think Article 17.
Uh-huh. And if there is really an excessive death, no, and agreed upon between our three good resource persons, I think na-established natin that in the previous years prior to the pandemic, hindi ganun karami yung namamatay. And here comes the pandemic, nagka-roll out. So there has to be some sort of a correlation. Why would a pharmaceutical company insist on not being sued if there will be injuries or fatalities that may come after as a result of that? So I think that's how, I think the position of, ako, position ko is, I think you should dig deeper, man, and, no, kung ano po talaga yung ano. It's a paradigm shift maybe for our government and for the FDA. Now,
anong nangyaring problem before I recognize Congressman Akop? Sorry, Congressman, with your indulgence, no? We've been a part of that mistake because we approved that the law that mandate the pharmaceutical to be responsible, and now we learn from that mistake, and that's the reason why we are so serious about finding out those amendments. Kasi nga natuto na tayo eh, dapat ganun ang gawin natin. From that mistake, moving forward, makuha natin, matukorek natin yung mga pagkakamali.
Well, that was very powerful, and Dr. Eden, I'm grateful for you sharing that with our audience. And again, I reiterate what Dr. Eden has just said, and what I've also been, I feel like the title of my first book was Screaming to be Heard, Hormone Connections Women Suspect and Doctors Ignore. And I here it is 30 years later, and I'm still screaming to be heard amidst the censorship and doing my best to bring the truth. So this is part of our effort, and we need all of you to share these programs with your network to spread the word. And also share our website, truthforhealth.org, and our Truth for Health store with high-quality, certified good manufacturing practices compliant products manufactured in the United States under the top quality standards that are nutraceuticals to improve your health and resilience, no matter what the latest pandemic threat or disease X or avian flu or any of the others that they're trying to create this drumbeat of fear is affecting our health and forcing people to take experimental shots when there are effective treatments, prescription medicines, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, doxycycline, other antibiotics, all have antiviral properties and can help whatever the threat is that they are calling the disease of the day. And the nutraceuticals that you can use, and I take myself, to help keep your body healthy and your immune system working well so that you don't have to worry about a lot of these esoteric threats that they're fear-mongering about. So check out truthforhealth.org. This is Dr. Lee for America, and we'll be right back after the break.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body. And mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report, International Report today with Andrea Claritz, Dr. Mike Eden, and of course, me in the United States as a practicing physician. And I've asked Andrea Claritz from Croatia, independent journalist and businessman, and very politically engaged with what is going on with the recent Croatian elections and what is going on both behind the scenes and in public related to the WHO meeting the end of May around the issues of the World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty and International Health Regulatory Agreement. So Andrea, bring us up to date about what they really did. You know, there was the press claimed that the World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty was failing. And we warned in last week's Whistleblower Report that that was a deceptive tactic, that the real danger and sinister agenda comes from the broader UN assaults on all aspects of our way of life. But there's also the issue of the pandemic treaty, which they talked about in the media, versus the international health regulatory agreements, which end up accomplishing the same thing, but haven't been talked about as much in the media. So explain all of this for our listeners to better understand what's really going on.
Hello, Dr. Lee. Hello, Mike. It's a pleasure to be with you again here. I agree completely with you that it's just a tactics. Well, I don't think so, that this treaty is failed completely. I think they are now aware they cannot complete it in this 77th World Health Assembly, but now they state they will finish it until the end of the year, maybe next year, but the end of the year is something that they mentioned here. What is important that they are on this 77th World Health Assembly, they adopted a substantial package of amendments to the international health regulations. What this means? That means that these regulations are the one more very important thing. And if they adopt it, that means they are going in the same direction where treaty goes. That means without treaty in the future, for sure, they will be well prepared for new pandemics or emergency situations of international concerns. Unfortunately, this is an enormous loss for us and a substantially victory for all the evil forces that support the system of pharmacia. These amendments will facilitate enormous global build-up of the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex, which seeks to trigger ongoing pandemic emergencies that will be made even worse by relevant health products. I quote just James Lagusky, who made a report about this international health regulations. What we see now, they are aware of a pressure. They are aware that lots of politicians around the world, at the same time some countries, especially from the United States, I had an interview with Joe Gebbia, who signed a letter of 22 public attorneys from the United States, and there was also 49 senators from the United States, and also I think all Republican congressmen signed it. They will not accept it, but they are continuing. And you mentioned last time that this UN agenda will continue. It's much broader than we think. this WHO is just part of it. And I think still we have to continue to fight. I'm not optimistic they will succeed formally, officially, because as you see, wherever we go through official channels, they are winning because they cover everything by politicians, corrupt institutions, and officially they will push whatever they want. We, the people who are fighting against it, we are the only one who are pressing and pushing back, and we are the only one who are really aware that this is taking our freedom, taking our democracy, and we are aware also that our democracy is already corrupt so hard that whoever tried to fight through official channels will not win in this part of battle. I'm not the optimistic for the future, but we still have some time to make a pressure on our politicians. And as you said, Dr. Lee, for people to spread the word, to awake more and more people, what is happening, this is what is happening, is a power grab from the international institutions who want to take over completely power, and they want really to make world government who will lead all of us. Why I know that? Well, very soon I will have also show, and topic will be stakeholder capitalism. And if you read the book from side of Klaus Schwab of WEF, and name of the book is Stakeholder Capitalism, then you'll see inside that it implemented everything what we mentioned here. Pandemic, climate changes, WHO treaty, WHO international health regulations. And what they suggest, because they signed the contract with the UN to implement Agenda 2030. That means officially they are running Agenda 2030, and they put everything in the book. And inside you can see they are planning for our future stakeholder communism, and with them in charge. And everything is here, it's open. They are admitting, of course, they are using censorship for people not to reach every year, and that's why they are succeeding to do this now.
Well, that's exactly right. And we now have, through the big tech control and artificial intelligence, which is truly staggering how pervasive that has become and how quickly it has taken over so many platforms. But the big tech censorship, if you look at the control that is wielded by Google, YouTube, Apple, Microsoft, and then, of course, the government agencies in the U.S., between the Department of Justice, the CIA, and the Department of Defense, you're looking at a stranglehold on truthful dissemination of information. It is truly very chilling. And if individual people don't stand up and resist it, then it is increasingly the tentacles of control will strangle us all.
For sure. I had also interview with Rob Verkerk, and he made some investigation about censorship, especially on YouTube. And whoever wants to see it can go to my channel to see this interview. He's explaining exactly how they are leading us to find what they want us to find, not what is really the truth. And they are doing this on these big platforms like YouTube and Google and what you mentioned. There is a very few places where you can really find the truth and where you can investigate, and it's getting less and less space for this, especially when these new laws from side of European Union, they are oppressing everybody who wants to have a free word, free speech, and who wants to, well, say truth for people. What is unpleasant truth, of course.
Well, Dr. Eden, I'm sure you're seeing that in the UK as well. Tell us what's happening there.
Yes, I would say Andrea described it entirely accurately. And for my own part, for example, I didn't know any of this when 2020 started. I was a former pharmaceutical company research executive. I was doing a little light consulting. I'd never really thought about the extent to which politics would be, you know, corrupt or international. None of these things have crossed my mind. But I've discovered, of course, since choosing to speak out, that my ability to reach new people is now incredibly constrained in that, and people may not believe this, but I cannot appear as myself, Dr. Mike Eden, on many places in the internet. For example, I had an account on a professional networking site called LinkedIn. And because I made a couple of comments in a discussion there, my account of 10 years was closed without comment or chance of appeal. And the long and short of it is, I can only appear on the internet in my own name in two places that I'm afraid most people would have never heard of and regard as backwaters, like a messaging site called Telegram. So it's a bit like WhatsApp. So Telegram, and a writing space called Substack, one word, Substack. And that is it. If I try and log in anywhere apart from my bank or email, of course, I need to be a person. But if I try to be on any social medium, you know, like Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, they will not tolerate me logging in as myself. And so when people may feel a little skeptical perhaps about some of what Andrea just said, but it's absolutely true. There are a relatively small number of people who've worked out something of what's going on. I always say I don't know everything. I don't have a copy of the criminal's script. So I'm piecing things together like a police investigator. But there aren't very many people who have got the knowledge to understand, for example, what was the failure to tell the truth about things like pandemics and the development cycle times of things like vaccines and how they should be done. There aren't very many of us who would look at that and immediately say, oh, my word, that's fraud. And because it's international, immediately I realized that meant that there was a power above the level of nation. And we know that there are plenty, like the UN and the World Economic Forum and WHO. So it's not a conspiracy theory to think that people with an interest in governing the world the way they want it to be seen work together with tech to censor us, with big money, Bank of International Settlements, for example, and psychological influencing outfits, including the CIA in Britain, the Tavistock Institute, Royal Institute of International Affairs, all these global groups that you may never have thought about meet frequently, I suspect, and have recruited to their ranks people who share the globalist view that, you know, it's global totalitarianism. I'm not really sure it matters which label you apply, but what it won't be, it won't have any interest whatsoever in your rights or in your opinions about who should be ruling. So it'll be the permanent end to democracy if they succeed. And it has been described as neo-feudalism. So you may remember from your history lessons that there was a time maybe 500 years ago in Europe where the only people who really had power were the royals in each country and the wealthy nobles who had pledged allegiance to those royal families. And they had the whip hand. You know, they were able to recruit men of violence. They controlled the treasury. They said what was allowed to be said and what wasn't. There was a star chamber to punish and kill people who opposed them. And all I'm saying is what they want to happen is that again, so that there'll be a tiny number of people who are ultra wealthy, whose lives will be, full of unimaginable freedoms and leisure and possibly unpleasant habits. But the rest of us will be reduced to the level of serfs, some say slaves. And it's very easy, as I've described on this channel, to see how they would do that. So they'll find one or several reasons why you have to carry a new form of digital ID that will be a global format for the first time ever. You can imagine now why the tech companies are so important. We had David Rogers Webb, a retired hedge fund manager, on this show some months ago, describing what he calls the great taking. So ownership laws have been changed over decades everywhere so that, basically what you think is yours can be legally stolen from you. And then what we're experiencing, of course, is, I think, a pandemic mostly of fear rather than real diseases. We've talked endlessly about how PCR tests, for example, are I think they're fake fundamentally, and they're useful for misattributing ordinary illnesses and telling you that they are some horrible new disease. The next one, for example, bird flu. I like to humiliate them by saying it's like chicken influenza. It's funny when I say chicken influenza, isn't it? Because it's such an absurd idea. Why would you kill them all because one of them tested positive? Wouldn't you isolate it and then a few weeks later, the birds that didn't die, you would just stand up, continue your work? But no, what they're doing is telling you that bird flu is horrible and dangerous and pandemic potential. And then they find it in a flock of maybe 500,000 birds and they kill them all. And I think they're going to do that in order to, I don't think they're hopefully not going to starve us like Stalin did in Ukraine, although that's a possibility. I think more likely they're going to restrict the food supply such that rationing at some level will be necessary. And then you won't get your ration if you don't have a digital ID, and you won't get a ration if you haven't taken the latest jabs mandated by WHO. So I could go on for an hour, I often do. But essentially, it's this combination of fear, control of the media, and of tech, and of money. And people, nice people, don't want to be thought of as, quote, a conspiracy theorist, a phrase built by our surveillance culture, CIA and MI6 and so on. They built that culture, those words. And the goal was to try and shame anyone who asked any questions. So you're not allowed to ask questions, are you, about vaccines or what's going on? If you do that, you are a conspiracy theorist. And people don't want to be thought of as that. But I have to say to people, lift up your eyes to the horizon. Realize that what has happened in the past can be made to happen again, this feudalism 2.0, if we let them. All we need to do is do nothing while bad people seize power. And the wonderful thing is that opposing them is equally simple. It needs just a large and larger number of people to say, a pox on all your houses. I'm a free human being. I look to God for my judgment. I'm a person of peace, and I want you to get lost. I'm not going to take your jabs. I'm not going to wear your masks. I'm not going to take your tests. I'm not signing up for your digital ID. And if a few percent of people do that, I think they will have to put this on pause, or they would have to get very aggressive. And I think it would become very obvious what they were doing. So they don't want to do that. They want to conquer us through fear and kind of creeping proceduralism. And the way to stop it is knowledge. So again, I always say, having heard this, however bizarre you think it is, this is what's happening. As Andrea said, it's written in the book, the World Economic Forum, which links big business everywhere with the senior most stakeholders. That's its purpose. And when you look around, we've got the Bank of International Settlements, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and then below the UN, just very briefly, we have things like UNESCO. It's the science and culture organization that goes around and anoints pieces of other sovereign countries as a UNESCO special site. Immediately thereafter, ordinary people's rights to access their own geography and culture is blocked. There's the Food and Agricultural Organization, which sounds ever so benign, and it certainly could be, but it's really a way of allowing the globalists to force their way into small countries that have food insecurity and control them. Then we've got the International Panel on Climate Change. And I'm a good enough scientist and I've read enough about it to be able to tell you that human beings are not modifying the climate, that CO2 has no role whatsoever in controlling the temperature on the surface. And the entire thing is a crock of lies. But it's fear, fear, fear. And then circling back then, the latest fear is this WHO, the International Health Regulations, and they'll come again with this pandemic treaty. So, they want to frighten you about your health and demand that you comply. And if we do that, I think by 2030, that's the name on the book, I don't think we'll have anything like the culture we have currently in the world. Can't be sure of timing. It's not my crime. But we can stop them by awaking up enough people using whichever argument you find most compelling to be able to point out that your government's lying to you about something absolutely fundamental. I think once people get their foot on that first step of realizing that governments are not benign, they may have been in the past, they're not now. They have been corrupted or bribed. So that's that. That's the situation we're in. And I'll wrap it up and say, get yourself right with your God and persuade as many people as you can what's coming.
Maybe to add something important to what Mike mentioned, if this climate changes, if you read the book, this stakeholder capitalism, let me explain just short. There is before was shareholder capitalism, where shareholders were the responsible, they invest capital, and state capitalism like China. Now something in between, but it's not in between. And you know who is the major stakeholder in this concept? Planet Earth. And they're saying inside, Planet Earth is the major stakeholder. Whatever you do in the future, and whoever do, has to think about impact on planet. And climate changes, and Mike mentioned, I agree with him, is the main cause and reason for changing everything. All stakeholders has to act according to this Planet Earth stakeholder capitalism. And this, they say everything inside. It's right in the book. Just read it.
Well, I think that is an excellent suggestion to study the playbook of the enemy and understand what their plans are. So thank you for that recommendation. We'll put a reference to that in the show notes today. I want to thank Andrea and Dr. Eden for joining us today and urge all of you to remember what Dr. Eden just said. Turn back to God. God is ultimately sovereign, and we have, as nations around the world, many people have turned away from God's word, God's faithfulness, God's laws, and God's commandments. And if we do that, and we follow the commandment to speak the truth, and each of us do our part in our communities, our networks, our families, our work situations, each of us acting on the power of one person and those you influence around you, we can make a difference. In fact, a small group of committed people focused on the truth and doing what's right changes the world. Look at Jesus and the 12 disciples. And 2,000 years later, his teachings have been sustained and carried around the world. So let us be the voices of truth against the lies and deception from those who seek to harm us and interfere with God's design of life on this planet. This is Dr. Lee for America, closing the whistleblower report today. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org. Sign up for our email newsletters. Be part of our crusade to bring truth, hope, and solutions against the lies and deception and assault on our freedom. Thank you for joining us.